Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Avshalom had fled the country. He was in Geshur. Yoav ben Tsruya took it upon himself to see to it that Avshalom would be brought back. So he brought a woman from Tekoa, a wise woman, and she had a whole story. She made up a story in which she presented to David HaMelech. The story was she had two sons. One son killed the other. And now the relatives felt they were a Goel Hadam. They were like the redeemers of the shed blood. They wanted to kill the living son. There was only one son left. Her husband had died. She was an almana. She had two sons and one was killed. The one son that remained, the relatives wanted to kill. And she came to David. And David told her, first of all, she would not have to hand over. In general, a Goel Hadam never has the rights to demand that the family should hand over the murderer. She doesn't have to hand them over. And over here, there was no witnesses and there was nobody who saw it. The one who killed would be protected. There were no Edom, there was no Hasra, there was no witnesses. Now, this woman from Tekoa is going to mention how exactly this is pertinent to David HaMelech, who had two sons. One son, Avshalom, killed the other son, Amnon, after Amnon did the terrible act with Tamar. Avshalom had killed Amnon. And now Avshalom was in hiding. This was the son that remained. And David should bring him back. Just like he decided in the case of the woman with his two sons and one killed, but there were no witnesses, the living son should be brought back. And she says in Pasuk Yud Dalet, she mentions a number of Yesodos in Yiddishkeit. These few Pesukim are really basics in Judaism. They're basics in Yiddishkeit. And interestingly enough, all these things are alluded to in the Torah. Like the Gemara says, a person has to believe that Tchiyas HaMesim is Min HaTorah. In the Torah there are references to Tchiyas HaMesim. And it's all referred to Olam Haba and Tchiyas HaMesim, but it's not explicit and it's not at length, and that's not, the Torah promises things that we can witness in this world. And the afterlife is referred to, but it's not dwelled on at length. But here in the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, there's more of an elaboration. In Pasuk Yud Dalet, Kimos Nomus, the woman from Tekoa says to David, Kimos Nomus, and this pasuk can be understood as referring to Amnon, it could be understood as referring to Avshalom. Let's first take it in terms of Amnon. Amnon was the one who was killed. And Avshalom killed him. And because of what Avshalom did, Avshalom was in hiding, and he knew that he was afraid David HaMelech, if he showed up in Eretz Yisrael, David would have him killed. So she says, Kimos Nomus. What happened with Amnon, as terrible as it was, shouldn't be magnified more than it was. Eventually, we all die. That's one thing guaranteed. L'achar me'ev esrim. Everyone dies eventually. So Amnon's life was shortened, but it wasn't that he would have died anyways. V'chamayim hanigorim artza. And like water that's flowing on the ground, asher lo ye'aseifu, that cannot be gathered. Once it's spilled, it's gone. And even though, as the Radak mentions, the truth is, the water could come back in a different form. Eventually things grow and the water can flow underground to an ocean, an aquifer. But the way we see the water, when it's spilled on the ground, it's gone. And likewise, when somebody dies, we don't see them coming back until the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. Or the Neshama sometimes come back in a different form. They could be Gilgal. But the way we see things, the way the water is totally gone, when a person dies, that's it. And eventually it's going to happen to everyone anyways. V'lo yisa Elokim nefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forgive and doesn't ignore a person's wrongdoings for no reason. Everything has a cheshbon. A person has to do tshuva, whatever a person's suffering is a kapara, but Hashem doesn't just forgive without any reason. Everything's got A cheshbon, everything has a calculation how it's supposed to work. V'choshav machshavos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has thoughts. He thinks of ways, levilti yidach menu nidach, that nobody should be an outcast. And Amnon did a terrible aveira. What he did was terrible, and the way he treated Tamar afterwards was terrible, and it was such a terrible offense, he would have died eventually. And when he would have gotten to Olam Haba, he would have gotten a terrible punishment. After such a thing. We can't imagine what it would have been like, well, what would have happened to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that V'choshav Machshavos, Hashem thought of different ways that Amnon should not be an outcast. In the world of truth, he shouldn't be suffering terribly for who knows how long. So Amnon was going to die eventually anyways. And when he would die, he wouldn't be coming right back the way we see that. That's it. And V'lo Yisro Elokim Nefesh, he's not forgiven for nothing. It doesn't get away with it, and whatever he did is forgotten. Everything has a cheshbon. Everything has its punishment, and he would have gotten it anyways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked things out. V'choshav machshavos. Hashem had thoughts that Amnon should not be an outcast. So he got his punishment in this world. He was killed. And now at least in Olam Haba will be better for him. Now again, these thoughts are certainly, this is not an argument against the death penalty. This is all in a case where the person is not chayiv misa. Or there are times when the person, sometimes there's legal loopholes, and it looks like the person is getting away with it, and here Amnon did this action, and there were no witnesses. And he was not punished, which we discussed at length. Amnon seemed like he was getting away with it. The woman said to David HaMelech, just, we all know, in other words, this is a fact, and it's, again, this is one of the basics in Yiddishkeit that everyone knew, and she was Zocha, that it's mentioned, she was the one who said these words that are recorded for posterity. But she mentioned to David HaMelech, he's gonna die anyways, and he's gonna have a punishment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his, nobody's getting away with it. And whatever he did wrong, he got his punishment in this world. Now we're dealing with Avshalom. But looking at Avshalom as if he did such a horrific thing that even though Bezdin can't punish him, we can't take him back. There are rules in the Torah when the person is chayiv misa, when the person deserves the death penalty. In fact, the Gemara says if the Bezdin would kill somebody once in 70 years, it was a murderous Bezdin. It's very rare that the death penalty was given. But there certainly is a place for it, and when Bezdin has to do it, it's a mitzvah for Bezdin to kill whoever has to be killed. On the other hand, if the person gets away with it, he's not getting away with it. It's all part of Hashem's cheshbon, and it's all going to be settled after 120, and that's why Amnon, it wasn't such a tragedy that Amnon was killed as we would imagine. This is part of what Hashem wanted should happen to Amnon. Also, it could be she's focusing on Avshalom. As far as what Avshalom did, Kimos Namus. Avshalom is going to die anyways. As Rashi says, V'dayenu ba'oso onish. It's enough for us to have that punishment. Avshalom did something terrible. But the greatest punishment for a person is when his life is taken away from him. And eventually the realization, and for some people it might be a moment before he dies, for some people it can be years he knows and he's thinking about it. But the very fact that a person, at a certain point the party's over, you know, the hourglass runs out, and a person knows eventually kimos namus. So as terrible of a thing as Avshalom did, again, if he was chayiv misa and bezdin, Bezdin has the mitzvah to kill him. He has to be killed. But we're talking about where we don't have a way to kill him. And Avshalom is now for 2 years in the land of Geshur among the Goyim. Eventually, Kimos Namus, Avshalom is going to die. He'll get his punishment. V'chamayim hanigorim artza, like water flowing on the ground, Ashili Yosefa, you can't gather that water. Meaning if somebody stole, if Reuven took something from Shimon, so Bezdin will catch the thief, I will make him pay. He'll pay kefil, he'll pay twice as much. In that case, he can even pay 4 or 5 times as much. He'll get his punishment. But there, the victim gains. He was robbed. He'll get his money back. But over here, Amnon was killed. How do you gain by killing Avshalom? That's not going to bring Amnon back to life. It's like water flowing on the ground, Asheli Yisef. That water can't be gathered. And if Amnon was killed, there's nothing to do about it. So just to reject Avshalom, at this point, it's time to bury the axe. In other words, we might as well bring back Avshalom because we can't bring back Amnon's life. V'lo Yisa Elokim Nefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to show favor to somebody. He's not going to forgive somebody if it's not deserved. And Avshalom will get his punishment. V'choshav machshavos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks of ideas. He has thoughts. L'vil t'yidach m'menu nidach. Hashem doesn't want a person to be outcast. And even the person who's a murderer, there are laws, you have to have witnesses, and he has to be warned in advance, and the person says, yes, he realizes if he does this, he's going to get the death penalty, and he does it with full knowledge, and a guy like that gets the death penalty. But it's very limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want people just killed. And if he killed by accident, or was it b'shogeg? B'shogeg is a little different than a plane accident, but if he killed b'shogeg, without his full awareness. So the Torah wants to protect him. The family, the Goel Hadom, the family is going to be out to kill him. There are cities of refuge, the Orei Miklot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has thoughts how to protect the person who did this terrible sin. So too, if over here Avshalom doesn't deserve the death penalty, he should be brought back. V'ata now. What's interesting, by the way, in this line is, there's a discussion which we've mentioned and will come up again, exactly what Yoav told this woman. Yoav himself killed Avner. After the incident, Avner had killed Yoav's brother, Asoel, back a few months. But Yoav had killed Avner. No, Yoav had killed somebody. Could be Yoav felt... Could be this exact pasuk was the woman's idea on her own, what she was mentioning, or perhaps Yoav felt his case was different, because Avner was a general, and for a leader in Klal Yisrael to do wrong, even though Avshalom was also the son of the king. In any case, in this case, he seems to be saying if somebody murdered and he did the wrong thing and Bezdin can't get him, so we should welcome him back. What happened, happened, and Avshalom should be brought back. Va'atza now, ashebosi l'davar el hamelech. The fact that I came to speak to the king, Adoni, my master, es hadavar hazeh, that I spoke this word. Could be she's mentioning the fact that she gave this whole story and she was the one to come and say it. Ki yeruni ha'am. Even though, one shot the way the Malbim learns is, even though the people scared me, they knew that I wanted Avshalom to come back, and I was thinking of discussing this idea with the king, and I was told, you have no right giving the king advice. The people scared me. Ki yeruni hayom, it could be learned, even though the people made me afraid. Ki yeruni hayom, even though they tried to make me afraid of coming, I still came. And that's also part of this, levil t'yidach mimenu nidach, that Hashem has these thoughts that nobody should be an outcast. Everything is with Hashkocha. And the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the courage to come, even though I was discouraged and everyone told me, don't have the audacity to confront David HaMelech and try to suggest he's doing something improper, that itself is part of the Hashkocha. Or it could be she's saying, the reason I came with the whole story and why I came is because Ki Yeruni Ha'am, the people gave me a fear to come and ask directly, so I figured I better approach it with a story. Vatomer shivchoscha, so your maid servant said, Adabra noel hamelech, let me speak now to the king. Ula yasa hamelech es devar amoso. Perhaps, if I present it the right way, and I come with this story as if I had two sons, and one killed the other, and the one who killed should be left alive, perhaps the king will fulfill us devar amoso, the words of his maidservant, and he will apply it to his own life. Now, as we're reading the psukim, we're sort of explaining the implication, but she actually has never mentioned the word Avshalom. She told over the story with her own life. And then she said, the closest she got is the king should bring back his own outcast. Now, of course, the fact that Avshalom was gone was already 2 years ago. But she wasn't clearer than that. She just said the king should bring back his own outcast, the one that he caused to flee, without even mentioning who she's talking about. And she continues this vague discussion about how, by deciding her case, the king will do what's proper. Ki yishma ha-melech. When the king hears, lahatzil es amaso, to save his maidservant, mikav ha-ish, from the clutches of the man who is out to kill her one remaining son. Lahashmid osi, to destroy me, vesbini, and my son, yachad, together, minachas elokim, from the nachla of Hashem. Pasha meaning Eretz Yisrael. In other words, we would have been destroyed from this world and from Eretz Yisrael. The term is nachas elokim, is a midas hadin, a terrible judgment would have been. Her husband had died, one son was killed, and now if the other son would be killed, it's as if she was totally destroyed. And the king heard, to save me. Vatomer shivchoscha, so your shivcha, your maidservant said, Yeno devar Adoni hamelech l'menucha, the words of my master the king should be a source of menucha. That should provide tranquility. Finally, there should be a rest. Ki kamalachu Elokim. It should be a rest for Avshalom. Ki kamalachu Elokim. You, David, are like an angel. You're a malach of Hashem. Kein Adoni HaMelech. So too is my master the king. Lishmoa HaTova HaRa. When you listen to a case, you hear what's good and you hear what's bad, and you're able to discern where justice lies. And besides your ability as a great chacham, that you know exactly how to decide what's right and what's wrong with the laws of the Torah, Vashem Elokecha Yihimach, and Hashem Elokecha should be with you. And you have Ruach HaKodesh, and Hashem is with you. You have divine guidance. So what you've decided in my case, that the living son should be left alive, and he should not, the family should not be able to harm him, that's the judgment that you gave based on your superlative knowledge. It's based on the hashkacha and the fact that Hashem is with you. Probably also stressing there's like a special closeness of Hashem Elokecha. Hashem, your Elokim. The Elokim of David. Yihimach, he's with you. He should be with you and he is with you. And therefore, what you've decided is correct. Now it's a logical step. Again, she doesn't speak it out, but again, it's understood that the intention is to bring back Avshalom. It applies to David HaMelech also. His son who's alive should be brought back. Also, Ki Kamalach Elokim, what you decided is like an angel of Hashem. Kein Adoni HaMelech, so too is David HaMelech. When David gave a psak, he gave a halachic decision, he gave it because he felt it was right. And it was an unbiased decision. When the woman came with her two sons and her case, she presented it to the king gave his honest decision. Now all of a sudden, it's relevant to him. And there's such a hatred and a frustration and an anger and so much emotions that David has toward Avshalom that he refuses to see him after all this time. But she says to David, you're like a malach. You're like an angel. These things you're able to overcome. And if you decided in a case that wasn't relevant to you, you decided as an impartial outside party that the son who's alive should be left alive. So if that is the way the lesson pertains to you, you should take it to heart and don't let your emotions change your decision. You're like an angel who does what's right and will not let his emotions cause him to waver. Vashem Elokechi Yimach could be the final words. She's finished her case. Blesses the king. Hashem should be with you. And she said whatever she has to say. Vayan HaMelech. The king responded. The Das Sofrim points out the word Vayan is usually in a harsher term. And Vayomer is in a soft manner. But Vayan HaMelech, the king responded, Vayomer, and he said, El Ha'isha, to the woman. On one hand, there's the harshness, you know, she's now applying this to David HaMelech, what he should do in the case of Avshalom, which was such a painful incident that in David's life. She has this advice that he should bring back Avshalom. But Vayan, he spoke to her, there was, on one hand, the feeling of harshness in Vayomer Elisha, but he spoke to her gently. And he said, Al no sechacha di mimeni, dovar. Don't hold back from me this matter. Asher anochi shoel osof, what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a question now. Don't hold back anything. David really, really wants to know this answer. She must tell him the following. What I'm going to ask you. Vatomer ho'isha, the woman says, and some of Forshim point out again, she's this wise woman. Isha Chachoma, the wise woman from Tekoa. She didn't guarantee she would tell David. She didn't know what the question was going to be. All she said was, Yedaber no Adoni HaMelech, let my master, the king, speak now. And of course, she knew she had to answer and she would answer, but she couldn't guarantee the answer. She didn't know what the question was. But David HaMelech really wanted to know the answer. It could be, we'll see the question in a moment. He's going to ask, Vayomer HaMelech. The king said, Hayad Yoav itoch b'chol zos? Was the hand of Yoav with you b'chol zos in this whole incident? Are you coming on your own, or was there a mastermind behind it? And was the idea coming from Yoav ben Tzeruya, his general? This is critical for David to know. Because David had, there were different svaras we had, different logical reasoning. Should David bring back Avshalom? Should he not bring back Avshalom? What's best for him, for the family, for the nation? How's it going to look? On one hand, perhaps it was a lesson that somebody like Amnon deserves a tremendous punishment. On the other hand, he did kill without permission from Beis Din. Exactly what should be done with Avshalom? If an idea comes from a great person, you'll be more willing to accept it and to rely on it, even if you're greater than him. But the very fact that you know that the person who suggested it was a great man, you can assume that the suggestion was thought out, and it's not a frivolous thing that he thought of, and he just threw any idea by you. On the other hand, if it's not from Yoav, we have to find out whose idea it was, or in that case, we'll have to very carefully weigh the consequences and decide on its own merit, should Avshalom be brought back or not. So he wants to know this. She shouldn't hold back anything. She should let him know, Hayad Yoav Itzach B'chol Zos, was the hand of Yoav together with you in this whole episode. Vatan Ho'isha, and the woman answers again forcefully, Vatomer, but, and she speaks, Vatomer and Amira, she is speaking to the king, but with a certain forcefulness, and she responds, and she says, Chei Nafshecha, by your life, which is a lashon like she's swearing by the life of David, Adoni HaMelech, my master, the king, im ish laheminu lahasmiel. The word ish here is like yesh, as Rashi points out. And there are other cases in Tanakh where the word ish means yesh. Almost as if it would say, im yesh laheminu lahasmiel. She's swearing, you can't veer to the right or go to the left. Mikol asher diber Adoni HaMelech. From everything that my master the king said, David HaMelech is right on target. He's not a little bit off center. You can't go at all to the right or the left. He's exact with precision. Ki avdecha Yoav hu tzivani. You figured it out exactly. Your servant Yoav is the one who commanded me. V'husam b'fi shivchascha. And he's the one who put in the mouth of your shivcha, your maidservant, eskol hadvarim ha'ela. You want to know where it comes from? It is all coming from Yoav. He is the mastermind behind it, and he's the one who put these words and these ideas in my mouth. Some say the word yesh here is written as ish, as if it is lacking. It's not written the way yesh normally is written, because the truth is, she's saying David HaMelech is precise, and you can't go to the right or to the left at all. You got to follow exactly. David HaMelech is right on target. The problem is, David HaMelech was exactly correct, that it was Yoav. But David is about to make a mistake that's going to cause him a lot of suffering. Avshalom is going to come back, and we'll see later on, Avshalom is going to rebel. He's going to rebel against David. So, in the pasuk that says how David HaMelech, everything he does is perfect, and you can follow exactly, and it'll all work out well, it didn't work out well. So instead of saying Eish, it says, Eish Lehemin Lahasmil. But the meaning, the simple meaning is that she said you can't, she swears you can't veer from what David HaMelech says, he's exactly correct. V'hu sam b'fi shivchoscha. He placed in the mouth of your shivcha eskol ha'dvarim ha'ele, all of these words. Again, it can mean all of these words, meaning this whole idea is coming from Yoav. And it could also be that Yoav actually was able to figure out exactly what David would say and what she should respond. There was a dialogue as this whole story, as she presented her whole case, and Yoav could be figured out exactly what would be asked and guided her and told her, everything, literally all the responses, everything she would need to say. Levavur sabev es pnei hadavar. The purpose was sabev to, one explanation is to turn around es pnei hadavar, the whole appearance of this matter. Right now, Avshalom was doomed to remain in exile forever. He was there for 2 years and there was no sign of David bringing him back. She's going to make a plea, and after her speech and after she presents her case, we're going to turn things around 180 degrees and Avshalom's going to come back. And Yoav knew that this was the way to do it. Lavavur sabi vespenedor. He wanted to turn around the whole matter. And that's why Osa Avdecha Yoav Esadovar Azeh. That's why your servant Yoav did this matter. It could also be that she wanted to present the case in a roundabout way. Levavur Sabev, in order to approach it from a circuitous route, she couldn't come directly to the king and say, bring back Avshalom. And certainly if Yoav would come into the king, Yoav couldn't start with a story about a woman and two sons. Yoav couldn't do that. If Yoav's coming to the king, it's known that he's coming about something pertaining to the Malchus, the kingdom. Yoav would have to approach it directly. And he didn't want to be so forthright. In order to approach it from a roundabout way, Levavur Sabe Vespanei Adovar, that's why he brought this wise woman from Tekoa. And she would be the one who indirectly would present the case. And from there, David would agree to bring back Avshalom. That's why, also Avdecha Yoav Esadavar Azeh. That's why your servant Yoav did this. Vadoni Chocham. But my master is a wise. David is wise. Kachochmas Malach Elokim. Like the wisdom of an angel of Hashem. Lodas is kol asher ba'aretz. To know everything that's happening in the land. Again, she puts in a shavach, a praise of David HaMelech, that she acknowledges how great he is, and that would make it easier for David to realize that what he decided was correct, and that Avshalom should be brought back. And again, he's like a malach, she stresses, he's kachochmas malach elokim, like a malach of Hashem. And yet, this is all part of the punishment that David HaMelech is supposed to get. The suffering with his son Amnon, now he's going to go through the episode with his son Avshalom. This is all part of the punishment that was decreed on David as a result of Bathsheba. So he has the chokhmah of a Malach Elohim, but we're going to see the bitter results of what happens. Pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayomer HaMelech al Yoav. The king says to Yoav. He didn't give an answer to the woman. Could be the very fact that she was telling him he should act differently. Until now he hasn't brought back Avshalom. And now he should. It wouldn't be covered for the Malchus to tell the woman, you're right, what I've been doing as king is not correct and I should bring him back. Or it could be in general. Yoav was the one behind it, so he spoke to Yoav. But the Isha from Tekoa, the woman from Tekoa is finished at the moment, and Vayomer HaMelech al Yoav. The king now speaks to Yoav. Hineino asisa es hadover hazeh. You have done this thing. Yoav is the one behind it. You sent me this woman. You're the one who did it. Veleich hashev es hanar. Go and bring back the nar. Bring back the lad. The young one. Es Avshalom. Bring back Avshalom. It's written, there's a Korean Ksiv, there's a Girsa, Hineino Asisi es hadover hazeh. Actually, we read it, Asisa, as we just said, and it's written, Asisi, with a yud at the end. Hineino Asisi es hadover hazeh. David acknowledges, I have done this thing. Meaning the woman presented a case, and I said that the son who's alive, if he's not sentenced death by Bezdin, he should be kept alive and he should be brought back. The family should leave him alone. So too, I have decided this, and therefore, lay choshev es hanar es Avshalom, go and bring back the nar, bring back Avshalom. David doesn't go back to get him. David sends Yoav as the general, almost, again, we're going to see, he doesn't treat Avshalom now, he still has this grudge and he's still upset with Avshalom. He doesn't welcome him like a father. He sends Yoav as the general. Yoav is the one who seems to represent the people, that the people wanted Avshalom to come back. Could be they looked on it very favorably. That Amnon, as the heir apparent to the king, the one who would have become king, Amnon did a terrible thing, and Avshalom saw that you don't get away with it. Just because you're the prince, you can't do whatever you want. And Yoav, as the general, is behind us to bring back Avshalom. So David says to Yoav, okay, bring back Avshalom. But we're going to see Yoav, David himself as a father, is not dealing now with Avshalom. He's keeping his distance. He tells Yoav, go ahead and bring him back. Bring back the Na'ar Avshalom. Could be Avshalom wasn't that old. We'll see, he had a family already, but he was born shortly before Shaul was killed, before David became king. He was young. And it could be he's stressing whatever he did as a nar. Sometimes youth can be explained by lack of experience. Bring back the nar, bring back the young one, bring back Avshalom. Whatever he did was foolish, it was a maisa nairus, something he did as a nar, bring him back. But Yipol Yoav Lepanov. Yoav fell on his face. Actually, El Punav is mashma as if he fell toward David, in order to show clearly he's now bowing down before David. Arts on the ground by Ishtachu, and he prostrated himself. By Yevorech Es HaMelech, and he blessed the king. By Yomer Yoav, and Yoav said, Hayom Yoda Avdecha, today your servant knows, Ki Motzasi Chein Beinecha. Today your servant, now I know, that I've found favor in your eyes, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king. Asher Osa HaMelech Estavar Avdecha, that the king has done the word of Avdecha, your servant. Here also, the Ksiv, it's written like Avdo. The king has done what his servant suggested. The Kriya, the way we read it, is Yoav is saying to David, you have done what your servant has suggested, that I should bring back Avshalom. Why does he now know that he found favor in David's eyes? Simply the very fact that he gave an idea, a suggestion, and David HaMelech accepted it, and agreed to, this is going to be news that's going to be front page in all the papers. Avshalom, after 2 years, is being brought back from exile, and it was all Yoav's idea. So obviously, the king is approving of Yoav's action. It could also be, again, Yoav had killed Avner. Yoav killed somebody who he felt deserved to be killed. Now, Avshalom, who killed Amnon, is being given a reprieve and is being brought back. So if Avshalom, who killed when he really shouldn't have, but is being brought back and welcomed, Yoav says, now I know that I've found favor in your eyes. Because I also did something of killing Avner, and he had his reasons why he did it. But David might have had a grudge against him. We'll see later on. David did tell Shlomo that Yoav should be punished. But the very fact that Avshalom is being brought back now reflects well on Yoav, who did a similar murder. And Yoav also, obviously, the king could be would forgive. also, it could be, you see, the magnetism, the charm that Avshalom had over everyone. That Yoav felt such a... it was so meaningful to Yoav that Avshalom is brought back. Why should he care if Avshalom is brought back? But we'll see, the people loved Avshalom. And Avshalom was able to get everyone on his side. And bringing back Avshalom, Yoav felt it was like a personal favor. Everyone wanted Avshalom back. He was popular. And the very fact that you are going to bring back Avshalom, I know that I've found favor in your eyes. This is like a personal favor to me. Vayokum Yoav, Yoav got up. Vayelech Geshur, and he went to Geshur. It could be they were on good terms with Klal Yisrael. After all, Yoav is a general, and he's going into, obviously it's not enemy territory. He goes to Geshur. Vayov yes Avshalom Yerushalayim, and he brings Avshalom to Yerushalayim. It's mashmi, he didn't just, he had to actually bring Avshalom. Avshalom himself was hesitant. Should he come back? Should he not come back? Should he go into Yerushalayim? But he brought him to Yerushalayim. Vayomer HaMelech. But now the king says, Yisov Obeso, let Avshalom turn and go to his house. Don't come straight in. Don't come to me. Take a side room and just go home. Yisov Obeso, let him go back to his house. Ufonai lo yire. He shouldn't see my face. I don't want to see him. There was certainly no victory parade. It's not like the criminals and the terrorists or whatever. They set free and then they come home and they make a big parade in the celebration. Avshalom's coming back. But the king doesn't want to see him and he makes it clear he's not coming down the main street. Esau will let him turn aside and go to his house. Ufanei lo yira, and he shouldn't see my face. Vayisov Avshalom el beisa. So Avshalom turned to his house, Ufnei HaMelech l'ro, and he did not see the king. He was 2 years among the goyim, but the king still didn't want to see him. A lot happened. Now let's learn a little bit about Avshalom. Uch Avshalom lohoyo ish yofe b'chol Yisrael. Like Avshalom, there was no person who was handsome in Klal Yisrael. Lahalel, to praise Ma'oid exceedingly. I once heard Rav Avigdor Miller translate the word halel, like halleluka. Hallelu is like to praise, v'hallelu b'ashorim ha'aseo, or kamu v'aneo v'ayashruha b'aylo v'ayahalelo. So he wanted to say a woman, her children, v'ayashruha, they say how fortunate she is. But b'aylo, her husband, v'ayahalelo, the husband is the one who can get really enthused about what his wife. The one who really appreciates the wife is her husband. The husband like praises her. Over here, the term lahalel, keeping that in mind, it's almost as if the people went wild over Avshalom. Avshalom was unbelievable. There was nobody as handsome as him, and it wasn't just that people felt, he's nicer than everyone. But no, it was lahalel mo'od. They praised him exceedingly. The Gemara says if you see Brios knows, nice people, there's a special bracha to say, Baruch Shekachalo Bo'olomo, to bless Hashem for creating such people. Avshalom fit that description. Mikaf Rago, from the bottom of his foot, Vad Kodkodo, to the top of his head. Lohoya Bo'omum, there was no blemish. Very often a person can be handsome and beautiful in part of the body, but not every limb is perfection. But Avshalom was, there was nobody like him, lahalel ma'oid, to very much praise. And there was no blemish at all, from the bottom of his foot to the top of his head. Uvagalchus Rosho, when he cut his hair, v'hayom iketz yomim, la yomim, it was at the end of every year, yom, like yomim tiegulos, so the word yomim can mean a year, not just days. Here it means every year. At the end of every year when he would cut his hair, he choved alav, because his hair got very heavy after a whole year, a year without haircuts. His hair was very heavy. So he cut it off. He weighed the hair of his head. He put it on a scale to see how much the hair weighed. Mosayim Shkolim, and it was 200 shekel, the Evan HaMelech, with the king's weights. The king's weights were extra heavy. You know, I guess you have the American pound and the British pound. Different cities could have had different weights, but the Evan HaMelech, the king's weight, and it was 200 shekel. His hair was tremendously heavy. So you can imagine it must have been very long, and it was Chazal discussed it was tal-talim, it was like in curls, and it was, his hair itself was a masterpiece. The pasuk doesn't say it, but the Gemara makes it clear that Avshalom was a nozir. He was a person who accepted on himself to be a nozir forever. And a nozir who's a nozir forever is allowed to lighten his hair once a year. There's different opinions. Some hold even more often. But from Avshalom, you see that once a year he would chop off, would cut off his hair and then start again. But just every year he did this. The pasuk doesn't say, though, that he was a nozir. It could be the fact a nozir is a holy person. In Parshas Nosa, where the Torah talks about nozir, the Sephorno says as follows: a person becomes a nozir lahazir lashem, to be a nozir to Hashem. The Sephorno says leman yekulo lashem, in order that he should be completely for Hashem, lisamik b'torosso, to delve into the Torah. He separates himself, he doesn't drink wine, he keeps away from any impurity, from a tamei mace, from a tumah of death, and dead bodies, and he stays away from the wine, and he just lets his hair grow, v'loleches b'drachav, and to go in the ways of Hashem, uledov kabo, and to cling to Hashem. A nozir is considered to have a special closeness to Hashem. The Ramban says over there, when a nozir ended his nazirus, he brought a chatos, he brought a sin offering. And the Ramban says, because he really should have remained a nozir forever. Because hishvo so hakosuv lenovi. There are psukim in Tanakh that place together becoming a novi, becoming a prophet, and becoming a nozir. A nozir is considered to be a tremendous service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't even want to mention that Avshalom was a nozir. He was, and the Gemara learns out halachas from this. But it could be the pasuk doesn't even refer to him. Some mafarshim say, don't call him a nozir. Because Avshalom was, we're going to see such character flaws and such terrible things that Avshalom did. To rebel against David HaMelech, we don't even want to refer to him as a nozir. He was a nozir. Could be he even became a nozir initially with good intentions. It's hard to know. You know, maybe he figured his mother was a Yafas Toar, came from Geshur. Or on one side of the family, he came from Goyim. He came from his grandfather was this Goy, you know. He came from such, it could be he figured, he looked so beautiful. The Gemara has a discussion about the Nozir who saw his reflection in the water. And he felt a strong desire of a Yetzirah with such beauty, he could get involved in Averis. So he decided, that's it, he's going to become a Nozir. And then he's going to cut off his hair, and he's going to, as a sign of service to Hashem. And the Gemara says, if that was his intention, kamochu yirbu nazirim bi Yisrael, that there should be many people like that who are nozir. When they see that they're led to go after their personal beauty, they should become a nozir and then cut off the hair for Hashem. It could be no. Avshalom realized how handsome he was, and this was, he figured, a way to serve Hashem. Could be he still remembered Shmuel Hanavi, who had made David the king. Shmuel was a nozir. Umora lo yala al rosho, the pasuk says. He also was a nozir. But whatever his motivation might have been, it obviously turned sour, and he may have been acting as a holy man, but the core was a little bit rotten. He wasn't good. And therefore he's not referred to as a nozir. He weighed his hair. V'shakal asar rosho. He weighed his hair. There's a discussion also. Why was he weighing his hair? Sometimes you think a person weighs his hair, he can sell it to the shekel macher. Maybe they'll make a wig out of it. But a nozir's hair is asur bahana. It was burned under the pot of the karbonos. It was burned. The hair was cut off and it was burned. So some say that a nozir forever, this idea of a nozir for 30 days cuts off his hair, and then that gets burnt. Here he's really a nozir forever, just he can lighten the hair. Could be that doesn't have to be burned. But it's not clear. In other words, the simple meaning is he weighed his hair because of gaiva. He was just wanted to take pride in how luxurious his hair was. How full-bodied and however the descriptions of beautiful hair go. You say, weighed his hair that it was 200 shkolim be'Evan HaMelech. Some say perhaps his intention was he would weigh the hair and then give that value of tzedakah aniyim, give that amount of money to the aniyim, to the poor, or give the money to Hekdesh. But whatever it was, it somehow, it took on a form of tremendous gaiva, of haughtiness. Of course, it's hard for us to judge him. The Medrash says there were six people who were beautiful in the world. Six men who were handsome. Adam, which you can imagine, Adam was the Tzir Kapov, the one who Hashem created. Adam HaRishon was the epitome of beauty. Yaakov Avinu, Avshalom, so he's mentioned third. In other words, Adam, Yaakov, and Avshalom. And then it says Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who he mentioned the tragic in Kinnis, how when he was going to be killed and the daughter of the empress wanted to even peel off his skin because he was so beautiful. But Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, and then there was Rabbi Yochanan and his Talmud Rav Avo. Those six, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Avo. So Avshalom was one of the most beautiful people. So we don't have that in Yisoyin, but if somebody is beautiful like Avshalom, for a person not to let it go to his head, literally, not to really become haughty because of that, and it shouldn't affect him, it wasn't Yisoyin. But as we see by Avshalom, it brought about his downfall. Vayivoldu l'Avshalom. They were born to Avshalom shlosh avonim, three sons. Ubasachas and one daughter, Ushmoth Tamar, and her name was Tamar. It seems that Avshalom named his daughter Tamar, because his sister Tamar suffered at the hands of Amnon. He wasn't going to forget it. And every time he called his daughter's name, he remembered what happened to his sister. Her name was Tamar. He hoisa isha yifas mare. And his daughter Tamar was also beautiful. So it seems that Avshalom has a really successful family. He's got three sons. He's got a daughter. They're beautiful. He's the most handsome. He's perfection. Vayeshev Avshalom b'Yerushalayim shnasayim yomim. Avshalom remained in Yerushalayim for 2 years. Ufnei hamelech lo ra'ah. And he didn't see the king. He came back. He went to his house. And we can imagine he probably at the beginning was figuring, any day now the king will ask for me. And the weeks turn into months. 2 years and nothing happened. Now we'll see in a minute. Eventually he is going to come to David, and eventually he's going to rebel. The question is, why at this point does it bring in the fact that he's so beautiful, and so handsome, and has the family? I mean, this would be relevant later on when he rebels. We can mention how the people were drawn after him. Why is it brought in over here? So, the Radak already mentions that Samuch l'sipur hamered shemorad ba'aviv. We're going to, shortly afterwards, we're going to mention how he rebelled against David. So sipur magoram lozeh. So the Pasuk wants to let you know what caused him to rebel. Because he was so beautiful and there was no one like him, and he became a bal gaiva, he became haughty because of his beauty and his hair, and he figured he's the one who deserves to be the king, and therefore he rebelled. He had heard that David was planning to make Shlomo the king, and he rebelled. But that doesn't answer why it's over here. It could have been a little bit later. So the Mefarshim answer as follows. This is all part of Avshalom's feelings of pain at the way David rejected him. Right now, Amnon wasn't living. I mean, he was the one to blame for it. But as it is, Amnon is not alive. Avshalom is the next son who would become the king. There's no one as handsome as him in the whole country. He looked the part of a king. As he was the one who looked like he deserved it. We're going to see later on, Avshalom built a monument. He called it Yad Avshalom. It stands nowadays. And he built this monument that he should be remembered, because he had no children. Now over here it says clearly he had four children. So one explanation, the Barbanel goes into this, is that these children died. He had three sons and he had a daughter, and they died. And David HaMelech didn't show up to comfort him. His own son was going through this tragedy in his life, and David just shunned him. And his daughter was so beautiful, and he mentions over here, this is for the grandparents, He says the grandparents have a greater love for their grandchildren very often than their children. You know, like it says, if I knew grandchildren was so much fun, I would have had them before my children. Yeah. But the grandchildren here in the Einikloch, and he has this daughter, and she's so beautiful. She would have been the treasure of the grandparents. And David HaMelech is not interested in Avshalom. He's not interested in the family. In his mind, he still thinks Avshalom is a murderer. And he realizes, even though people might get caught up with the beauty of Avshalom, the beauty is external. And David realized inside that Avshalom is no good. And he didn't want him. And he agreed to let Avshalom come back. Could be he figured, Yoav seemed to say the people wanted it, and could be he didn't want Avshalom to remain among the Goyim. So whatever the reasons were, Avshalom is being brought back. But David doesn't care to see him. And as David's not treating him like a son, he doesn't, and Avshalom is there. And the years are going by. It's now 2 years already. That's going to lead to why Avshalom takes action. Of course, it could be like the Radak is saying, this is why eventually he rebels against David. But even before you get to the rebellion, you have to realize the resentment and the frustration that Avshalom is feeling. Vayishlach Avshalom. Avshalom sends a message. El Yoav to Yoav. Lishloach Oso El HaMelech. That he wants to send Yoav to the king. Avshalom sends a message to Yoav. Could you please go to David HaMelech and give him a message? I want you to help me out. Below Ova Lovo Elov. And Yoav didn't want to come. Yoav brought him back from the Goyim. He brought him back from Geshur. And that was it. Maybe Yoav realized that David HaMelech wouldn't make peace anymore. He did whatever he could do. He figured there's no more to do. Whatever the story was, Yoav brought him back, but Yoav didn't want to get involved. So Avshalom sent him another message. Lo ovo lovo. And Yoav didn't want to come. Vayomer al avodav. So Avshalom said to his servants, Ru'u chelkas Yoav el yodi. Do you see the portion of land that Yoav owns? El Yodin, it's right near my land. Like your hand is next to your body. El Yodin means it's right near me. Velosham Sa'irim. And he has barley in his field. Lechu go v'hatzi su'avayish. Go and burn it. Put it on fire. That's the way we read it. Vatsi Sua, you should put it on fire. The Ksiv is written like Vahotse Sua, whatever, as if to say, Avshalom is going to be the one who's going to end up doing it. He's going to be involved because the servants are going to be reluctant. He's going to end up being more involved than he wants to. But in the end, Vayatsisu Avde Avshalom and Sachelko Bo'esh, the servants of Avshalom, he did prevail upon them. And they burned that portion of field. They burned it in fire. Could be his servants realized when they came to killing Amnon, Avshalom promised them, kill Amnon and don't worry, I'll take care of you. And as soon as Amnon was killed, Avshalom fled to Geshur. They already knew Avshalom doesn't stand behind his men. So they didn't want to do it. In the end, he prevailed. They did it, but it's written as if Avshalom himself had to burn it. But he instructed that the field should be burnt. Could be he felt he had a din like Bezdin. He was the prince. He was the king's son. And there's a pasuk in Ezra, Perek Yud. And this is the basis for Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The court has a right to make somebody's property ownerless. There's certain powers of Bezdin. It says over there, V'chol asher lo yovo lishloshes yomim, whoever doesn't show up in 3 days, ba'atzas hasorim v'hazakenim, following the counsel of the leaders and the zakenim, yochram kol rechusho. All that he possesses will be put into chayrim. Will be destroyed, will be taken away from him. Will be destroyed. Avshalom felt the same way. He's the son of the king. And he's calling Yoav. And Yoav is not coming. And he sent him again. So he figured he had to take drastic action. And we'll see in a moment, Avshalom felt death would be better than this seclusion in his house in Yerushalayim. From not seeing the king, he'd rather have stayed in Geshur. He would have rather remained where he was. Yoav brings him back, and then he leaves him to be ostracized for 2 years. So he's got a grievance against Yoav, and Yoav is not coming. He burns down Yoav's field. Vayakom Yoav. Yoav gets up. Vayavo el Avshalom Aboysa. And now he comes. His field was burnt down. Now he comes. The law is, if a guy sends a fire, Shalach Biad Pikeach, if you give a person with intelligence a fire, and then he causes a fire, the Pikeach is Chayiv. The messenger is Chayiv. He should know how to take care of fire. But if a person sends his servant, Shalach Biad Avdo, the Mishaleach is Chayiv. The one who sent him is Chayiv. Since Avshalom is sending his servants to do it, Avshalom is to blame. But Yom Re'elov, and he said to him, Lo mahitzisu avadecho es hachelka, asher li. Why did your servants burn my portion of land by Ashen fire? Yoav, I'm sure, has the grievance also. He did Avshalom a favor, and he went to the king, and he risked that the king could be angry at Yoav. Who knows how the king is going to react? And he sort of risked himself by this whole setup to bring back Avshalom, and now Avshalom burns down his field. Good, he didn't come. He probably felt there was no purpose in coming. David HaMelech wouldn't see Avshalom anyways. Vayomer Avshalom el Yoav. Avshalom said to Yoav, Hinei sholachti elecha. I sent a message to you, Lamor, saying, Bo Haina, come here. Ve'eshlecha oscha el HaMelech Lamor. And I would send you to the king saying, Lama bossi mi Geshur. Why did I come from Geshur? Tovli odani sham. It'd be better for me if I was still there. I'd rather remain in Geshur, among the Goyim, but this life right now is intolerable. V'ata now, ere p'nei ha-melech, I am going to see the face of the king, v'im yesh bi ovon v'hem yisoni. And if I have any guilt, whether he's referring to the fact that he killed Amnon, or the portion of Mephoshim say, could be that, he figured that would be okay. That was already settled, that he went through that bizoyin. That was done with good reason. That David HaMelech wouldn't punish him for. And if showing up in front of the king without an invitation is guilty, im yesh bi oven v'hem yisoni, if I'm guilty of anything, the king will kill me. Whether he does have a grievance because of what I did to Amnon, or whether I'm coming in without permission, but let the king do what he wants. But I must go in to see the king. Vayavo Yoav el HaMelech. Yoav comes to the king, Vayagedlo, and he told the king Vayikra, that Avshalom was determined to come. Besides the fact, the personal hurt, that the king didn't want to see Avshalom, didn't care about his family, didn't want to have anything to do with him, it's a bizoyon, it's a disgrace in the public also. Everyone knows Avshalom is the king's son, and it was obvious that Avshalom was never brought to the king. This was a constant embarrassment, and it was like showing that he was obviously not going to be the next king. Yoav comes to the king and tells him, Vayikra el Avshalom, and he called to Avshalom, Vayavu el HaMelech, and Avshalom came to the king, Vayishtachlo al Apov, and he bowed down to him on his face, arts on the ground, lifnei HaMelech, in front of the king, Vayishak HaMelech l'Avshalom, and the king kissed Avshalom. It doesn't say that the king said anything to him. There's no discussion. He kissed Avshalom. And we'll talk a little bit more. We'll just finish off that kiss in the next tape. And Yirtzeh Hashem will begin Perek Tesvav. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.